Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message. Good morning, everybody. So I know over the past month we were in a series of God's promises, and so that's what we were being led into, and now we're starting a new series on heroes of faith. And so today I'm going to be talking about the life of Abraham. If you don't know, Abraham was the father of many nations, but he was also called the father of faith. And so when we think about faith, it's just, oh yeah, I have faith in God. I have faith that this is going to happen or what. But what is faith? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. And that's what it says in the Word. When you also look it up in, you know, a dictionary, it says that it is a firm belief in something for which there is no proof. It's complete trust or without question. And so in Abraham's life, there are many things that he was, you know, going through. It didn't look like what God promised him. It didn't look like, when you're looking at it with your own eyes, that he should be the father of many nations, right? It didn't look like he should have faith, because when you look back, I believe his father's name is Terah. I don't know if I'm saying that right, but his father and his family were a line of idol worshipers. So that's already one thing that's against him that doesn't look like he should believe in God. It says, if you look up his father, that he may have had like a shop that he sold little, you know, idols that he would make. And so it's like, how did God call Abraham when he came from this place that it didn't look like what it should, you know? And so when God called Abraham, he was about 75 years old. And he told him that he should leave everything that he knows to go a place that he doesn't have any idea about. He doesn't know where he's going. God's just asking him to go. And Abraham has this immediate obedience. And it's like, how did that happen, you know? And so it's like, it tells me that God's purpose can't be thwarted. It says that in Job, whatever he has destined for you cannot be thwarted. And it's like, that alone is like, whoa, you know, like, I don't know where I'm coming from. I don't know anything about anything, but okay, God, I'm coming. There was no contemplation. There was no, I don't know, God. You know my dad, you know my family. I don't know about this, but he didn't. He had immediate obedience, and that's why we're calling him the father of faith. And it's just like in our own lives, we tend to go back and forth with God, and we say, I don't think that's going to work, and I don't think this is not my timeline, you know, you're not working it on my timeline, and I don't know what you're trying to have me do. And just that, I'm just inspired by Abraham's immediate obedience in his life. And so as, you know, we go through, we're reading from Romans 4, 16 through 25, and it says, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is father to us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of God, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead, and calls into existence things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. So, if you know, not only did God call him out from where he was familiar, this familiar place, he also promised him that he'd be a father of many nations. But he's older, and he's like, I don't even have a kid. I don't have a son. My wife, she's barren. Like, how is that gonna happen? And it's like he goes through this journey of just like, how is that gonna happen? You know, but I believe in your word, and I trust that the God who calls things into existence, whatever you promise me is the truth. God cannot lie, right? And so it's like when we think about a promise is a legally binding thing. It's giving someone an expectance of what you say is going to be. And when we know that God is promising something, no matter what it looks like around us, no matter the circumstance, no matter if, you know, we're walking through something, what he promised will never be thwarted. What he promised for us is going to happen because it's binding. He made a promise. And we can make promises to each other in our own human nature. And, you know, I promise I'll take you to the park later. But then you get tired and you cook dinner and everything. It's like, ooh, no, it's 7:30. I'm not taking you to the park. But God doesn't do that. God is constant. And he never changes. And when we begin to think about that, we begin to lean on him more than we lean on our human nature and our response in our own lives and the people that we put our trust in, then we begin to understand the Father's heart more. We begin to say, like, okay, God, I know you are the creator. By your word, this world came into existence. The weight of his word never falls to the ground. And we can have faith in that. Even though we can't see what's going on, he knows the details of our lives. He knows where he's taking us, and we may not understand, but he knows how, the when, and the why, the bigger picture. We more lean on what's happening right now and what we can do to make that time go faster. But God has a purpose for everyone and a timing for everything, and he's so in the details. So later on, if you read in Genesis 12 through 25, you can see all the details of Abraham's life. And there's a point where Sarah is like, okay, this isn't happening. How are we gonna, you know, we don't have a kid. Let's, you know, you can go with Hagar and you can have a kid, and they have a baby. And that wasn't part of God's plan. But in that mess, he made something out of it. In that mess, he still uses it for good. And I just want us to remember that in the mess of things, he will come in and clean it up. He will come in and redeem all the things, that all the mistakes, take away the shame. God doesn't condemn us. He doesn't condemn us. He doesn't want you to feel that guilt or feel that shame. He doesn't want you to live in it. He wants you to get past it, because there's still, whatever happens, there's still a purpose for it all, and he just will piece it all together. And so when we come back to the scripture, it says in the Bible, verse 19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. And so, how do we get stronger in faith? It says he gave glory to God. So in the middle of the mess, what do you do? What do I do when I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on? Okay, I'm going to Google something. I'm going to look it up here. I'm going to go ask 10 friends what their opinions are. It's never, let me go ask God first. You know, what does he have to say? The creator of heaven and earth. What does he have to say? The person that created me, the one that knew me in my mother's womb, that called me when I was in my mother's womb, that knew John and who was filled with the Holy Spirit in the mother's womb. He had a purpose already before he was even here on earth. And I just want you to all know that that's what you have. He created you for a purpose. He had you in mind already. And when you're walking through life and you're like, I don't know what this is all for. What is this all for? What is this? Why do I have to walk through this? Why, God, if you're so good, why do I have to walk through this? But in that valley, in the valley place where you're down on your knees and you're crying and you're like, why, God? That's where he roots you in. The roots of a tree, you never really look down in there and understand the roots of a tree and how big it is underneath. What came from a seed are these roots. The roots go into the ground first, and then something sprouts up. And that's what God is doing inside of us each day in that valley I've been walking through for, you know, I mean, everybody has a valley here and there, but, you know, over the last year, God has taken me on a journey. I'll back up. In 2020, you know, the pandemic, it wasn't an easy time for anybody. We all kind of went a little crazy, didn't know who to put our trust in. We're looking at the media, reading the news, trying to figure out, what are we supposed to do here, God? But, you know, at the time, our like jobs are unstable, and so I'm on my way to work. You know, there's things happening in my family life, and I'm like praying, crying to God on my way to work. God, what is happening here? What am I supposed to be doing? Like, you know, I'm thankful for my job, but like, it just feels like this is not where I'm supposed to be anymore. And I mean, don't get me wrong, God gave me that job because I worked at Genentech for about 10, 12 years. I was the only one in my department with no degree. I was the only one that didn't have the credentials. But for some reason, God put me there. He showed me it doesn't matter what anyone else says. It matters what I say. It matters where what doors I open for you, not what everyone else is going to do, because this was already impossible. The odds are stacked against me. I don't have a degree, and I'm going into a biotech field. But God says, you can, and you will. And I was there, and that was kind of my thing. I wanted to be in the medical field, and he put me there. And so he answered that prayer. But after 12 years or so of doing this job, I just felt like something was calling me out. The grace was leaving for the thing that I thought I wanted to do, because I thought I wanted to help people in the medical field. But God was like, there are other things that you can do to help people. It's not just about the medical field. And so, on that drive to work, I'm crying out to God, and he answers me with a vision. And he's like, gives me this vision. I'm like, what? Okay, I don't know what you're talking about. But it was me on a platform speaking to people. Fast forward, I'm standing in his promise today. But it took years to get there. It was 2020, it's 2024. But last year I left another corporate job because I was like, I settled for this. I cried every morning, like, oh God, I'm trying so hard, but I need you to tell me what to do. I felt like he was leading me out of it. And so I resigned in last May. And my last day was the end of May, May 30th, I believe it was. And I was like, I don't know what you're trying to do here, because I know I need to help my family. I know, like, I'm crying every day and my mental health is suffering because I don't, you know, I'm torn. I'm, like, trying to help my family and financially, and I'm also, like, stepping out and leaving this job that is my income, is my source. And he's like, but your job shouldn't be your source. I'm your source. I'm the one that you should be leaning on, not yourself. I took you there. I brought you here. Okay, God. All right. Okay. So I leave, and I'm like, okay, this is, things are getting tight, you know? I'm like, oh, gosh. Okay, God, I need another job. I don't care. I'll work at Trader Joe's. I'll work at Target. Just give me something else that I can help my husband, because I'm like, he's stressed out. I'm stressed out. You know, the kids are starting to feel it. And he's like, every job I applied for, it was like, no callbacks, nothing. No, Whole Foods was like, no. Like, what? Excuse me? I work at Genentech. Like, how? I can bag some groceries, you know? And so it's like, no. So what does he do? He gives my husband 3 jobs. He gives him 2 more jobs than the job that he already had to work part-time, to make the ends meet, to do what we need to do. Because he was taking me somewhere else that I didn't know about. So every day, I was like, I didn't know what to do but get in the Word. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, what do I do, God? Just talk to me. Just spend this time with me, because this is the time that you need to spend with me. And he took me and he rooted me in. He changed me from the inside out, because it was an inside job that needed to be changed. He needed to remind me that he is the source of everything. That when I'm running to myself or running to my husband or the kid or my world, like, there's nothing can fill that void. Nothing can fill or give me the peace that he gives me, because he is peace. He's Prince of Peace. Sometimes we're like, oh, if I just get 10 minutes of quiet, I'll have peace. But it's not. Your mind is still running. You're still thinking about what do I need to do? But I can just tell you that God's promise is true, no matter what it looks like. No matter what it looks like around you, no matter if, you know, someone around you is, like, not in faith, or they're wavering, or their, you know, opinion is greater than, you know, what your mind is telling you or what God is telling you. God has to be the everything first. The Bible says, seek the kingdom first, seek God and his righteousness, and all things will be added into you. I didn't ever know what that meant, but now I do. Now I know, and I know that no purpose of his can be thwarted. So as we give glory to God, then our faith increases, right? We have to worship first. When we're, like, in the thick of things and, like, someone's poking at us, starting an argument, or we're at the driving down the road and, like, someone cuts us off. Okay, God, like, what's my reaction has to be, God, instead of some other words, you know, that you could say. But their first reaction has to be God. And it's not easy. You have to train yourself daily. You have to die to your flesh and say, God, I choose you. When you wake up in the morning, just to say, God, I surrender this day to you because I can't do it on my own, it's powerful enough. When you're in an argument and you don't know how to react, you say, God, I need you to help me in this moment because I can't. And he will. He always will. You just have to be aware of that. And it's a training, right? You have to retrain yourself to do these things and get away from what you naturally react to. So Abraham was fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. This is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words, it counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted us to who believe, to us to who believe in him who was raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. So when God made Abraham the father of many nations, the father of faith, it wasn't just for him. It was for us too. And that's what God wants you to know, is that his promises are true no matter what it looks like. He wants you to know that you can lean on him. Abraham didn't know him. Abraham came from a family of idol worshipers, but he knew that God and his word was true. And that was enough for him. Is it enough for you? Is it enough for you when you are having a hard day to know that he's there and he doesn't leave you? Even when you don't see him, he's there. And all you have to do is invite him in. He's just a word away. And I just want to encourage you today to remember that as you go through this week, as you go through your life, as you go through this journey that God is taking you on, remember that his promise is true. Remember that he cannot lie. Just remember that he's there and he has a purpose for your life. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.